Is Ted in a trunk right now? Is Ted been kidnapped? Here, let me put this in gallery view. Ted just came on and his screen is black. Ted,
Yeah, this.
are you there?
I might not be here. I'm not supposed to say anything.
Okay, be quiet. Just whisper. Blink twice if you're okay. We may have just lost him. His name just popped up on the screen. If you're watching on YouTube, I am concerned right now. Katie, where do you think he's at his house? Do we need to run across the street and save him? Do you think they took him away?
Maybe.
I don't know. Camera's not working. One sec here.
Is this wasn't was the solar eclipse this last week?
It was a long time ago.
Was it this week or was
It
it
was last week for sure.
before the last episode? Are
Yes. It
you
was like
sure?
a week ago Monday. Yeah, it was like this 8th.
Ted
There we
is
go.
here. Ted is okay. Ted is okay. All right, that was scary. That was scary there for a minute there, folks. I thought we lost Ted.
This is weird not having having my computer down here and open. You got to fight through adversity. This is a road game now.
I've got a lot of adversity to talk about. Without further ado, welcome to Down the Alley. This is PMAC.
And Ted T.S. Spirides.
And Katie.
And there is so much to talk about. I know Ted and I were starting to get a little bit fired up last night. I think we just had to stop ourselves. We just had to stop talking before we got through it all. Like that's why we podcast. That's why we fire up the mics every week, is to just have some of these conversations and then we record them, and apparently people like listening to them. So here we are. I don't know if it's the same energy on the girls' side. I've been less in tune with that. I know, we've got the source, we've got Katie. I don't know, we'll see how much Ted's been paying attention. I know I was at a girls' game that was banana land. So I'm excited to dive into it. How is everybody's week going first before we get into the madness of Minnesota high school lacrosse?
I'm not a huge fan of wind. Wind is just really, there's like, I think that's the worst element to play lacrosse in. Like snow and rain and heat, all those things, like I feel like are not fun, but wind, it just messes, it sucks to stand out there as a coach, but then it like, the passes get pulled by the wind. Like it's just, you can't hear anything. So the players are completely disengaged because you're trying to bark orders and they can't hear it in their helmets. And so this week has been the week of wind.
It's awful. I
It's not.
agree with you wholeheartedly. It is so awful. I can deal with snow. I can dress for cold. But even last Saturday when it was warm,
Yeah.
still windy.
And so last night,
Was bad.
a lot of games being played in tough conditions. And I think weather was a great equalizer
Are
yesterday.
we labeling last night as tough conditions?
Yeah, it was, this week's been bad in my opinion too. I'd
I
much
agree.
rather
I agree. There's
have
been
any
some
other
bad
element than
conditions this
wind.
week, but last night, at least in the Prior Lake, Minnesota area, there was no rain. There was some wind.
It was really windy
There was some
yesterday.
wind. It was a little chilly.
Like
For
the
those.
ball got taken by the wind yesterday in our game a couple times. Like it was, that's how gusty it was.
I'll rephrase. Maybe not tough conditions, but less than ideal conditions.
That's fair. I can live with that.
Yep.
When we're like, if you're playing through like the rain that we had the other night where some things were getting canceled,
Don't worry, we did that too.
that's tough conditions. I'll that's tough conditions.
Yeah, no, I agree. I misspoke. I will say it was it was playable, but you know, cold hands, a lot of wind, maybe was a factor in some of the games.
Fair, fair. And that's why I'm here. I'm here to call you out on your mishap words when you mess up a word.
Yep.
Katie, how's your week going?
Windy. It's
okay,
miserable.
So everyone's just having a windy week.
We're playing in rain. We're playing in wind. Tons of high school, tons of youth. The bus ride in the rain to the game and home was awful because it was like musty and
did they have
hot.
Heated seats?
No.
No.
But it was hot and gross and you can't open a window because it's pouring rain.
And PMAC, you said we have to embrace all of it, right? We have to embrace the travel. We have to embrace the steamy bus on a rainy night. We can't let the weather impact.
You want to know what we can let us impact is when the
what?
Refs don't show up and I'm reffing a half of our game.
Both teams have to deal with the weather. Both teams had to deal with Katie reffing.
In rain boots. I was in rain boots on turf and my parka in the rain. Pouring rain, reffing.
Hey, you should send the ref association, whatever they call themselves, a bill.
Yeah, an invoice.
Yeah,
an invoice.
Probably. Yeah, we had, so like they, and also they really couldn't hear the whistle. It was a B team. So like we're learning rules as we go because they're all very new to it. So then I had to run over and like, I couldn't just like stand in the middle of the field. I had to like tell them, you know, we're trying to teach the game, tell them what's going on. The refs did come because the refs assigned the varsity game. We played after varsity on Tuesday and the refs were the same. So they had to run up after the varsity game was over. Maybe just a little bit of a logistical. I don't know who does the refs out there at that game. So it could be someone who has like no idea that what lacrosse is. So happens about once a year. Not going to lie. This is not the first time I've stepped into ref. And I hate it.
I'd send the Reffing Association an invoice.
You should.
I don't even know what they get paid.
I don't either.
But I would send them whatever an hour worth of your time is.
Yeah. So then now my girls are on the sideline without a coach.
I think that might be illegal according to USA Lacrosse.
Yeah, but
so,
like we are a third level team, so probably. But they're very.
We're just asking for controversy coming our way. We're gonna get our email's gonna get blown
like
up. US Lacrosse is gonna be
up.
Down our throats.
Yeah, they're going.
Are you
to
a
be.
Certified ref? And you refed
no,
a game? Oh God!
No. They were.
Oh,
but
goodness.
Hey, they were warmed up. They can sub themselves.
Cut the stream. Cut the recording.
It feels like as I look, you know. Obviously, there's a lot of action last night, Thursday, but we have to cover the entire week. I like forgot that like we have to go back to last Friday and like start talking about some of these matchups that like it feels like last year at this point. I don't even know like what were the big we'll start on the girls' side, but like what happened last weekend? I don't even remember last weekend.
It was windy.
I was at a girls' game. I was at a girls' game last Saturday. We were coming back and we had a scrimmage against Orno. Orno, thank you for hosting the Prior Lake boys lacrosse team, the only boys lacrosse team in the state who hasn't played a regular season game yet. So Orno, thank you for hosting us to a awesome scrimmage, giving us a great look, great facilities up there. I think it's my second time being at the Orno Stadium, whatever they call that stadium. Not I don't remember.
Now they have a good stadium.
A few years ago, down the alley, hosted a played a situation rivalry battle game for youth. Remember that? Who was there? Katie and I?
Yep.
It was an absolute electric factory. We haven't, I don't think we've done one since, but that was one for the books, something that we've done that no one else has done. Not a big deal, but, you know, it was awesome. Great facility. We were coming back and, you know, I'm texting some of my sources, checking in on the prior, like girls. Cause right. Katie's on the sideline. Katie doesn't text. She's a coach. She doesn't text during games. Crazy, crazy thought. So I texted some of my sources and, you know, they gave me a score update and, Paralike went out to a huge lead. I'm like, cool. No need to rush back. We'll get back. See the gals after. All of a sudden I get an update and the Stilly Ponies of Stillwater are marching back. I get back to this game and it was an absolute barn burner of a game. Paralike big lead early. Stillwater marched almost all the way back, down to the last couple of minutes. Awesome game. I think I saw about half of it. I think I saw about the full second half. Paralike edged out a win. But watch out for Stillwater. They're going to be making some noise on the girls' side, as they always do.
Yeah, and a couple other scores from the weekend that caught my eye. Buffalo and Monticello girls, 5-4 Buffalo wins. Low scoring game last Friday. That's a Section 8 matchup. So that has seeding implications. Two teams that I think we were all pretty high on in the Section 8 preview. And then Saturday, a game that I didn't see, but the score caught my eye. Lakeville South 11, Eastridge 8. That's a pretty good game. Considering Lakeville South is, you know, a team that a lot of people think is a favorite, one of the favorites to win state this year or to be a contender. Eastridge was a state tournament team last year and, you know, lost a couple of seniors, but kind of where are they? And like, that's a very competitive game. So another like close matchup for two teams that, you know, I think have a chance to be in the state tournament this year.
I think the Rosemount Jefferson one is kind of a section implication, especially with Champlin. Was it Champlin Park beating Rosemount? I think that's it just kind of throws a curveball in there.
They're close, low scoring game, 8-6 Rosemount win. Yeah. And then not a close game, but an interesting game. Eden Prairie was at University School of Milwaukee and 24-11 against, I think that University School of Wisconsin is like one of the top teams in Wisconsin. So
I think so too. I feel like they had a state run there a couple of years ago.
So nice road, true road win for the Eagles, on Saturday. I guess looking into the week here, Monday, did we have anything Monday that we, looks like Rochester Century and Owatonna played an 11-10 game.
Yeah, and then right above that, there was another one-goal game. What was it? Sartell-Sauk Rapids and Ricori.
For Monday, I think one game that pops out to me is the Hill Murray win over Woodbury. I was high on Woodbury going into the season. I think I ranked them one in their section. We knew Hill Murray, you know, was going to be a problem. But if I was picking the game Monday night for this one, I would have picked Woodbury. So I think that's a huge win for Hill Murray on the girls' side for sure.
Yep. Tuesday, a lot of games. Well, not a lot of games. Four of the 9 got postponed due to the monsoon that came through the Twin Cities. I will say it was raining extremely hard at one point. We decided to have practice, and I got to practice at 5:30 when our practice starts. It stopped raining, And at 7:01, it started pouring again. Like, we had an hour and a half stretch where there was no rain whatsoever. So we lucked out. But, you know, a lot of teams were probably making those calls at 2 p.m. and just so teams didn't have to travel through it, only to get a lightning delay and have to go home. But the games that did get played, we talked about Prior Lake Chan. That's a nice win for Prior Lake. I don't know, Katie, if you want to elaborate on that game.
Yeah, the first half was like, I think the sun was coming out.
Yeah.
But then it's always kind of just like a goofy schedule whenever we play Chan. A couple years ago, when we went there, we had to rearrange the games for a coach's graduation. So then this year, like I said, JV played at like 4:30. They were on their own bus. Varsity played, and then like prep team played last, which is usually it's all the inverse. But they did get a half hour stretch of no rain. Like I said, it was kind of the stretch of sun even. It was kind of fun. The National Weather Service is out there, and we saw a weather balloon go up above the field. So that was kind of cool, because it's like, obviously it was tracking the storm. Obviously it was very distracted by that and not the game, but yeah, it was a good game. I had to run up to the practice field to start reffing.
Yeah, there you go.
I'll shout out Katie Collarin, actually their goalie, in terms of like some stuff on the field. I think she's a senior. She's rock solid. Yeah. So she's like a really big pinnacle on their team. And so I'm excited to kind of see what their scores end up being through the season, because she's not that a lot of other teams, like girl goalies, aren't active. But actually both in our Stillwater game, they made a goalie switch to, I believe, 2027's our freshman, right?
Correct.
They put their freshman goalie in Stillwater after the first quarter. So we've played two teams now with really, really rock star goalies. And it definitely, we go to practice the next day, and it's been a theme for kind of all three teams this week to kind of learn some fakes and start utilizing them, because we've had some big goalie matchups for the varsity team.
Yeah. We're dealing with the same thing at Farmington. Shooting and finishing in April is not
done.
Hopefully it gets better by the end of the season. But yeah, shout out to the goalies. Benilde beating Orono 19-7. I'm not surprised Benilde won, but I am surprised at the margin, more so because Orono was playing some teams pretty tough, some bigger teams pretty tough. So Benilde kind of picking up where they left off last season as state champs. Especially on the offensive side. And then Wayzata beating Buffalo 16-7. So Wayzata might be the real deal this year as well on the girls' side.
We talked about them last year too, and I feel like they're just coming up short, like obviously a really, really hard conference.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So again, not a ton of action on Tuesday. Props to the teams that played through the rain. Moving on to Wednesday, it's kind of hard to keep track of all these games.
Yeah, I was going to say we called out Park Cottage Grove and Moundsview because of the rivalry. I think we all picked Park to win. Maybe somebody, I think PMAC, you picked Moundsview because they're the Mustangs.
Yeah. But
they did not come close, so.
Yeah, to be honest, just not a lot of close games.
Yeah, CEH and White Bear Lake are the same section, right?
No.
Maybe we picked that one out too. So yeah, it kind of Thursday or Wednesday, I mean, was no surprise. No surprises on that front.
And then last night, Thursday.
Windy.
Very windy. I think, you know, a lot of big blowouts last night too.
Yeah, Monty had their first win. Monty Magic.
Nice. Good luck. Good job for them.
Shout out.
Benilde Blake, 11-6 So slowing down the Benilde attack.
Yep.
Their rivalry game, I guess you could say.
For sure.
You know, I think it's just interesting that Blake, you know, again, maybe wind was a factor, maybe less than conditions, but I get, you know, Benilde took care of business. Scores don't always tell the whole story, but that scores, I guess, maybe intrigues me a little bit. Lakeville South 16-6 over Chan. So that's a dominant win in a game that I thought might be closer.
Me too.
So Prior Lake 16-8 over Edina in a game that I would have thought would have been closer. So, sometimes that's just the way it goes, right? It you think you're going to blow a team out and it's a one goal game. You think you're going to play a one goal game, you get blown out, whatever. It's the way it goes. But any thoughts on those couple games last night?
I mean, Chan Hassan Lakeville South was the DTA game of the week. I actually agree. I thought maybe it would be a little bit closer. But you know, I think that's no surprise to all of us that Lakeville South is still kind of coming ahead with these wins. I love the Simley St. Croix prep game. Again, from the score, it looks like that was a great matchup, close game, and like kind of a good good competitive game. But yeah, you know, Lakeville South is definitely not, I don't know if it's on purpose. They're definitely not scoring the points they did last year. And I don't know if it's intentional. I know there's been some kind of crackdown on a goal differential maximum. But also, you know, maybe wind was a factor. We don't know. And something to note for the listeners, there's been a big shift in the girls game. Girls play quarters now, 10 or 12 minute quarters, I think. Which last year and forever we've played halves. And that might be a factor into some of these closer scores that the reasoning behind it was that, at least from like what I read in the rule change, was that you're getting a little bit more time from a coaching perspective to adjust a little bit more without having to call your time out. You're getting time to come as together as a team, adjust things. You're switching goal ends. So I think that honestly could be a factor in some of these big games. It's definitely different. In my opinion, the quarters go obviously way faster. Like, if there's a lot of draws, they seem to take a long time. In my opinion, the last two games I've seen, draws have been taking way too long to set up. I don't know if it's reffing, we're trying to be more like strict on them. I don't know, but the draws in the varsity game have been taking their sweet time. We've had to have girls like reset completely multiple times in the game. And I've never really seen that much before. There hasn't been a lot of like redraws. The ball has to go up and over their heads, but it's like the ref will set, they'll set. The girls will pull apart, the ref has the ball, and they'll completely try to do it again. And that's been multiple times in both of the varsity games that I've seen. So I don't know what's happening in the circle, but that has definitely been different, and the quarters have definitely been getting it. And if anyone's out there being like, yeah, let's try to make the girls game like the boys game because they do quarters, it literally isn't on the radar. So I'm going to squash that comment right now.
I like quarters personally. I think it just flows better.
I haven't decided what I like better yet.
But interesting on the rule changes. I know there was some emphasis on the boys' side too with faceoffs.
Yep.
Doing that and how they're calling that. So maybe that's just they're asked to double, triple check or whatever.
Right.
On to the boys, have to go way back to Friday night again. Feels like an eternity ago, like I said with the girls. Friday was a light night. Was a lot of blowouts. But Saturday, 80 degrees. degrees when I was driving to my game on Saturday afternoon.
But it was windy.
Yeah, it was good, but it was 80 degrees in
It's
mid-April.
Gorgeous out.
It's out. Saturday was the East versus West showdown. 27 games, all at White Bear Lake, brand new. It's not, I don't know if it's actually a new high school in the sense of the high school building, but they've renovated their North Campus. Bunch of turf fields. Sources say that it was a beautiful complex. And what great, I mean, honestly, couldn't have had better weather for mid-April.
Do they have like a upper school and a lower? So like their North Campus, is it like upperclassmen? Or is it like, we don't know?
No, I know they have like a North and a South Campus. I don't know how they split it. It sounds like the event was great. A lot of people came out, a lot of teams, obviously a lot of good matchups. I guess, PMAC, any on Saturday, any games that stand out to you for kind of game of the day or game of the weekend?
I don't know if one in particular like pops out of like that's the game of the day or game of the weekend, but I just love how many games there were. Like I love the event. I heard only good things about the event. I wish I could have gone in person. We had one of our content people go and capture some content, which is great. Like I said, I was out at a scrimmage and then I hit the girls game and then I ended up going to your game. Just so I could be at a game, felt, wanted to feel like I was a part of something that was going on. But I a couple games with the scores that kind of pop out to me, just kind of starting at the bottom of the list, EP White Bear Lake having a close one, Edina Matamidi. I think that was one that a lot of people were talking about. And one that was kind of back and forth. I think it was a lot closer of a game than 5 goals. I think maybe Edina had a couple, more goals late. That one was a nail biter. I hear Woodbury went in by 6 against Moorhead. I think that says something. We were getting a lot of flack from our friends up in Spud Nation. I think it was just, I'm glad the weather was great. I'm glad East versus West was buzzing. And there's some close nail biting games. Stillwater had a statement win against Tonka. A lot of good scores, a lot of good games and great weather all weekend long.
Yeah. Stillwater, they're on a mission this year. I feel like they they came out firing. That score surprised me. I definitely thought Stillwater was going to beat Minnetonka, but 17-5. That was a big win. One game that also stands out to me is Eastridge 18-7 over Buffalo.
So do we want to get to the East? I've got a couple of storylines, and I don't know how structured we want to be. I got some storylines.
Let's rip through the next few days just quick.
And then I'm going to start ranting and raving. I got some people asking for some rants. Coach Beach, like, you haven't ranted in a year. So I've got some storylines to pop off about. So let's continue. Let's go to the next day here.
Monday night, I think the big game for me was Blaine Centennial. And this game was actually pretty back and forth until the end. Broll Sherman, Logan Adams for Centennial. They just decided in at the end of the third quarter into the fourth that they were going to take over the game. And they did so and ended up 16-7. So that was maybe not as close as I thought it was going to be or as it looked like it was going to be. Tuesday night, I think the game for me that was most interesting was Egan St. Thomas Academy. This was a heavyweight battle. I watched a little bit of the stream. I think at one point it was 4-on-3. What? There was three players in the box for one team and two players in the box for another team. So a lot of penalties in this game, a lot of like takeout checks, slashes, late hits, just kind of like pushing, shoving. It was just an overly physical game. I thought the officials did a good job of keeping it in control, but two teams that I think wanted to play a physical style and really push that narrative. And Egan ended up winning 13-8. So good win for them.
So Egan, quick. I'm here. Sources are saying Sam Simon, like I said, I don't know if I said it on this podcast. I was a guest on the Game Time Media podcast, and they're asking me about, you know, Mr. Lacrosse favorites. My under the radar guy for Mr. Lacrosse, there's some favorites out there. Sam Simon, he's making noise early. He's making noise often. And I called it before the season started on Game Time Media. I'm like, if you want a sleeper pick, I think Sam Simon to do, because I thought he was a junior this year. And as we were talking about Egan, I'm like, whoa, 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 he's a senior sleeper pick this year. He was going to be my pick next year. I thought he was a junior sleeper pick for this year. I haven't heard anyone else say his name for Mr. Lacrosse. He keeps tearing it up and making the noise he's making. Watch out, sleeper pick, finalist for sure, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think just because I know him personally and have coached him and then have had to coach against him being at Farmington, he is such a nightmare to deal with because he's 6'4". He's got really long arms, long legs, so he can get his hands free. But like if you send a double, triple, quadruple team, he's slippery and just finds a way to just get around it. Like he's so agile and like for his size that you're like, it's frustrating. And then you're like, all right, let's not let him drive. We'll just let him shoot from outside. Well, he brings it about 100 miles per hour.
Yeah,
from the
good
outside.
Luck with that plan.
And doesn't work either. So, yeah, no, I think I like that pick a lot.
Are we on Tuesday still?
Tuesday. I think the other game that opened eyes to people was Chan 12, Chanhassen 12, Buffalo 11.
Yes. Yes.
Closer than maybe some people would have thought. And knowing what I know now on Friday, maybe Buffalo, they might have a decent squad this year. And that also brings into the question, how good is East Ridge after beating them 18-7? We'll get into storylines. We'll get into storylines.
I'm ready to just explode.
One thing I'll mention that's off topic, because I'll give them a shout out. EP Chaska, we never talk about the EP boys, I feel like. Like comparatively to the girls. So I guess it was just kind of something that caught my eye. Obviously they're good enough. But I'm like, gosh, we like never talk about the EP boys. So I'll give them a shout out.
There you go.
Shout out.
Not like a surprising score by any means, but like, I'm just saying. That's a section matchup, right?
EP Chaska?
Yeah.
No, EP got moved into section 6. Used to be a section.
Okay. Okay.
On to Wednesday. Nothing really stands out to me. I actually, Maple Grove Armstrong, I think, was for me the kind of the game of the night. Maple Grove took care of business. I wrote about this a little bit too. They got, Ricky Peterson's their guy. He only had a goal and an assist. They got 5 goals from Tyler Steinkoff. And I think they got 4 goals and 2 assists from Landon Bakke. So secondary scoring for the Crimson, that's gonna be a factor for them. I think
I think if I had to guess, the Armstrong staff has been hearing us talk about Ricky P for the last 3 months, and they're like, all right, we're just gonna triple Ricky P and let somebody else score. And Maple Grove answered the bell for that.
Yeah, no, they did. PMAC, a game that you shouted out, Lakeville South and New Prague, 7-5, kind of a grinder game, or as Coach Clem calls it, a rock fight. A rock fight. Top scoring rock fight. So
not surprised. If you're in the Discord, there's a lot of people saying, oh, Lakeville South. I don't remember what the line was. It was ridiculous in my mind. I chimed in. I try to pick my spots in the Discord because it just gets my blood boiling some days. But I chimed in. I'm like, I think this new Prague team is gonna be a one goal. I thought it was a coin flip of a game. And I was like, I think it could go to overtime. I'm rooting for Free Lacrosse in this one. Ended up being a two-goal game. Sorry, I was one goal off. People were really writing New Prague off. Are either of these teams going to win their section? Probably not. But these are two teams on the rise. Like I've said on this podcast, they're two evenly matched teams. Their core for both of these teams are sophomores and juniors. They're sophomore. They brought everybody back this season. Not surprised this was a two goal game. I could have seen this one going either way.
Yep. Yeah. Nice win for Lakeville. A team that Lakeville South, a team that only had a couple wins last year. And New Prague is a team that is on the rise and has a good junior class. So a great win for Lakeville. I guess a couple other games on Wednesday. I thought I had one other one.
Well, Battle of Bloomington. I thought that's where you were taking it. The Battle of Bloomington. It's been I threw my hat out there. I put my name to it. I'm like, the Battle of Bloomington. It's gonna be interesting. Jefferson was the favorite, right? That's no surprise to anybody. But hey. When I'm wrong, I'll raise my hand. Because when I'm right, I'm going to let you know. I'm going to let you know in a little bit. I'm going to raise my hand on this one. I thought it was going to be a closer game. However, I'm going to, we're going to shout out one of our 36 guys between the pipes, Bloomington Kennedy, Vadovnik. He's one of our 36 boys. He's been playing 36 since he could tie his shoes. He's put in a lot of time. He saw a lot of rubber against Jefferson. He racked up a lot of saves. So shout out to him. For Kennedy, right? It could have been a lot worse, sources say. So shout out Mr. Vadovnik. Nice job, staying tall in there and making some sick saves and racking up the saves against the Battle of Bloomington.
Yep. And then on to Thursday last night, wild night in boys lacrosse, probably the most action and like conversation we've had in a while, as far as like interesting scores, who's who, where's where, what's what. And it will start with, I think, for
where me, do you start? Where are you starting? I'm interested to see where you go because I've got a couple things. Where are you going to go with this?
Go down the list here. This game is this Matamidi Hudson game. It is not posted. The score is not posted here on Laxhub, but Hudson with a 7-5 win over Matamidi after we were about to write off Hudson and they're terrible and BSM crushed them and blah, blah, blah. And Matamidi, they ran with Edina and they're a top 10 team. Well, Hudson goes in, or Matamidi goes into Hudson, and Hudson pulls out a low-scoring game. So I know they're not a Minnesota team, but I thought that I was expecting Matamidi to crush them. So shout out to Hudson. The next one, Rosemount 11, Owatonna 10.
Shout out Owatonna. We have a couple Owatonna guys, over at 36. They put in the work. They're gritty. Making it interesting against Rosemount. Rosemount's Rosemount, though. Like, Rosemount just finds ways to win. Rosemount's 2-1 this season. And Rosemount found a way to win a close game against, okay, Owatonna. You don't know what to think. But Owatonna, they're kind of like, I don't even know what I'd compare them to, but they're a team they'll find a way to make it interesting. Kind of like Northfield against your game, against Farmington. We can talk about Northfield. Northfield just had a very nice win. I'm sure we'll get to them. But Northfield finds a way to make it interesting against maybe a team that you'd expect to blow them out. Shout out to Rosemount, you know, finding a way to win, but Owatonna making it interesting against a big public school.
I will say, just because we've played Owatonna at Farmington, it's never easy. Like, they know who they are and they know how they want to play. They have some phenomenal athletes on their team. And I a lot of respect. They go into like a blue blood program and make it interesting. And so I think shout out to both sides for the reasons that you mentioned. Buffalo 8, Eden Prairie 7. So Buffalo, they had a tough Saturday. They had a tough Saturday against Eastridge. And then, they dropped a close one to Chan, but better than expected, maybe. And then they go and they get a nice conference win against Eden Prairie, 8-7. So that's a nice win for the
Bears. Very nice win. Very nice win.
Probably the game of the night.
Was it our game of the week?
Game of the week.
Not a big deal.
Shout
out to us for picking a one goal game of the week.
Yeah. I hope that some people that went to this game checked out Old Southern Barbecue. Right there in Edina.
Right there. Right there.
You could have made a night of it. If you went to Old Southern Barbecue and then went to this game, you are not disappointed. Back and forth both the whole way, two elite level teams, tons of talent on the field. I think there was 6 Division I commits in this game, maybe 5. A bunch of D2 commits, some D3, like a lot of college level talent.
Yeah.
Former state champs, top 5 matchup. It's all you can really ask for. I mean, maybe a little bit less wind for Katie. But other than that, it was back and forth the whole game.
It was for sure windy last night.
The whole game, lead changes, ties. It was very offensive heavy in the first half. I think it was 6-6 or 6-5 at halftime. But the defenses stepped up in the second half. Goalies stepped up in the second half. Again, back and forth. Edina took a 9-6 lead late, I think with like a minute left. And Lakeville North wins the faceoff, goes down, scores, flag on the play. Wins the next draw, man up, scores, 40 seconds left. Now it's 9-8, but Edina, not all faceoffs are created equal.
They are not.
Edina maybe didn't win a lot of faceoffs last night against the phenom Quinn Power, but they won the one faceoff they needed to. 9-8, they win it, they get the GB. They call the timeout. They kill the clock. They win 9-8.
Boom.
Two teams that are very skilled, very well coached. I don't expect this to be the last of these two teams, but a great matchup for anyone that's a fan of high school lacrosse. This is the first time you went to go see a high school lacrosse game, I hope that you enjoyed it. It was definitely a good one. I'm going to skip down to the bottom here. The note, because I'm saving this other one for you, PMAC. Northfield 8, Shakopee 7. We've talked about it. Northfield is a tough team to play. They're well coached. They play hard. They got the grass field there in Northfield, the stadium.
That was my first time at their stadium last Saturday. Unreal stadium. Unreal town. Like the downtown Northfield. I haven't experienced the downtown Northfield experience, whatever that is. I'm not 100% sure, but
no,
they're
super cute. And
there's
people
something
go down there.
There's something there. I feel like I could get some brownie points if I, tell Katie, hey, we're having a little date afternoon situation and we go down to Northfield and I feel like there's something there. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is, but the stadium, grass. Wait. The grass field, however, I got one rant. I got a smoke. This is why you go to Old Southern Barbecue, folks. Cause smoke was like, oh, we're going to have this barbecue at Northfield against Farmington. They didn't have barbecue. It was like barbecue nachos. If Old Southern Barbecue was like, we're gonna have barbecue at a high school lacrosse game, I could have rolled up. Guess what? They would have probably had a pulled pork sandwich waiting for me.
Oh, they would have had.
Wait, it was your place?
Former. Oh. I got Old Southern Barbecue is the place to go now. Sorry. Go ahead.
That is unfortunate. I didn't hit the concession stand for the game, but you were visibly upset about that after. If Old Southern Barbecue was there, it would have been 100-gallon smoker going. That they would have been there the night before, just getting the briskets on and stuff. So, yeah, that was a little bit of a letdown. But I do agree with you. The Northfield vibe, their whole home situation is pretty cool. And a very nice win for them against Shakopee, who, you know, was a Final Four team last year. That's a tough place to go on a Tuesday night and play on the grass. And, you know, it might be a little uncomfortable. And that nice win for Northfield. I think they've been close. You know, they're always good for one upset a year. I feel like we always talk, especially when teams have to travel down to them. The last game from Thursday that was interesting, I'm going to let PMAC take this one. But St. Michael Albertville 15, Minnetonka 13 in a shootout.
Yeah, this is one of my rants. And this rant is brought to you by Old Southern Barbecue, the only barbecue in town. St. Michael Albertville. Okay, we picked them. I picked them. I don't remember off the top of my head where you two had them.
I can look while you keep talking.
St. Michael Albertville, number one team in my preseason ranking for Section 8. And all I got, all down the alley email got, all down the alley comment got, all DMs on Twitter down the alley got was hate from the rest of Section 8, all this and all that. So who's St. Michael Albertville anyway? I've never even heard of the town. You know, I personally have had good friends coach, not at lacrosse, but sports in St. Michael Albertville. Guess what? It's a real place, got people. St. Michael Albertville deserves some love too. St. Michael Albertville, I picked them. I picked the Knights. I don't know if they've been cursed over the years. I don't know if they've just hit some speed bumps over the years. I don't know. But this year, I'm like, there's a vibe. There's just something there. You know, there's been some other programs that have had some runs in this section and the Lake Conference. There's just something with the Knights, not the Knights of Benilde, not the Knights of a private school. This is a good public school situation. St. Michael Albertville Knights. And guess what? Already early this season, they're proving me right. I put my name on a stake, and I take a chance on these on this community, on this program, and they go out. They don't beat a mid program. They don't beat an up and comer. They go and beat a blue blood. They go and beat a massive public school, a public school that loves to win championships in all sports. They don't discriminate against the sport. They want to win championships. And guess what? St. Michael Albertville to the moon. They just beat the Skippers. What's a Skipper anyways? That's all I got on this one.
And just to add, well, Katie had St. Michael Albertville as her number one team in Section 8 as well.
Thanks for joining me, Katie. Appreciate you.
I had a different team. So we'll have to see how that one plays out. But just for fun here, a lot of lacrosse to be played, but I just pulled up the conference standings on the boys' side, Lake Conference standings. We got a three-way tie at the top between Buffalo, St. Michael Albertville, and Wayzata, all 1-0 in the conference. Edina has not played a conference game yet, so they're next. And then EP, Hopkins / St. Louis Park, and Minnetonka are at the bottom of the conference. So is this a changing of the guard in the Lake Conference? I don't know. Big win. A big conference win for Buffalo last night against EP. A big conference win for St. Michael Albertville against Minnetonka. We'll see how that plays out for the rest of the year. But these teams are on the rise. These teams are on the rise.
There's some other teams on the rise that we need to discuss, that I need to rant about, that I need opinions. I don't know if I need an answer, but I need others' opinions. There's a couple things that are bouncing around in my head. We mentioned them earlier. Eastridge. They pounded Buffalo. What was the score?
15-7.
They just statement win. And Eastridge, another team that I believe I was high on them. Eastridge, I know you were too, Ted. You've been talking them up, for a year or two now. Eastridge is a team on the rise. They've had some great goalies. Bixby, ever heard of him? He came out of Eastridge. Eastridge is all the way back. Are they a top 10 team? Are they a top 5 team? And I think we will find out tonight. Eastridge will tell me tonight who and what they are. The real Eastridge, the real Slim Shady will stand up, and I will find out if they're a top 5, a top 10, or fake news tonight. They play Woodbury. They play Woodbury tonight on Friday, April 19th. They will tell me tonight who Eastridge is. Ted, do you agree? Do you disagree? Do you have a different thought? What is your take? Because Eastridge will tell me tonight. I think they're for sure a top 10. Depending on this game goes, it could be higher.
I knew they would be a good team this year, because at Farmington we've played them the last two seasons, and they've been solid with freshmen and sophomores basically, and eighth graders playing varsity, and now all those kids are older, so I had to assume. We scrimmaged them this year, and we were down, I think, 5-0, like 3 minutes into the game. It was like face-off win, efficient offense, pass-pass score. Face-off win, pass-pass score. I'll give credit to my Farmington guys. We battled and like made it somewhat close. I think it was a one-goal game, 7-6 or 8-6 or something like that, two-goal game. So it was fairly even after that, but they jumped on us early. Their offense is just dialed. They got a great face-off guy. They got a great goalie, ninth grader. I think his name's Ryan Shanley. Shanley is his last name. I can't remember his first name, but ninth grade goalie who's elite. I agree with you, PMAC. Tonight's the night for them, because it's the Battle of Woodbury. And a team that I feel like Woodbury has kind of been the big brother in this rivalry for a long time. I know Eastridge has had their years here and there, but overall, like over the stretch of the last 10 years, I feel like Woodbury has kind of been the superior team, or has had the more success. And this is a great chance for Eastridge to tell us who they are. I think they're a top 5 team. I think they're a top 5 team.
Top 5.
Tonight is going to be interesting, because Woodbury is the type of team that can slow an Eastridge down. They're methodical. They play winning, smart brand of lacrosse. They don't make a lot of mistakes. They'll control the ball. They won't let Eastridge get a bunch of extra possessions. So like, and they have a good, really good team too. I mean, they're a top 10 team in and of themselves. So this is an interesting game, and I don't know a ton about these two teams, but I would say this is probably a feature game for the week. And I think if Woodbury wins this game, I think they bump themselves up maybe into the top 5, 6, 7 as well. Maybe top 5. I think they've just been taking care of business. So I don't want to like discount what Woodbury's doing. They just do it in a different way. They're Big Ten football. They run the ball. They control the clock. They get a goal on special teams, and win a low scoring game. That's how they operate.
I've got two more teams, two more storylines, and one of them is a ticker symbol. First one is, Prior Lake ever gonna play a lacrosse game again?
They have a program still, is the question. They have not seemed to be at any games. Any weeks, maybe had a scrimmage. We don't know. That's hearsay. But sources say, is Prior Lake even a squad anymore?
I think they posted something on Instagram like once or twice.
Yeah, so they're a social media company now.
Okay. I just wanted to ask, bring that up. If any of you knew, I know they have a girls program. I didn't know if the boys.
You guys aren't funny. You're not funny.
I didn't know if the boys still had a program. I don't know. I don't know. Okay. No confirmations on anything.
Confirmation.
Okay. No confirmation. The last one of this rant of, unless another one gets spurred up, which very well could, but of this segment of the rant, if you're playing any of these teams and it's windy out, make sure to go to Old Southern Barbecue before, if you can, if you have time between work, so you're, you know, bellied up, you're full, you can stay warm. If not, if you have to wait till after, that's fine too. Go thaw out, go sit in their restaurant, go get a bunch of barbecue in ya. That'll help you thaw out, stay warm this lacrosse season, especially this early lacrosse season. It's cold, it's windy. Barbecue will help.
I think it's actually the windiest today, I'm not gonna lie.
Great. Can't wait for practice. ticker symbol. JAGS. This is a ticker that you can go back. We save all of our episodes are up. All of our episodes are up. You can go back, clip out when I'm wrong, when I'm totally off base. Go to the Instagram when I rank somebody way too high. Clip it, throw it in our DMs. Let me know. Comment on it. Let us know. Let me specifically. I'm saying call me out when I am way off base. Let me know. I want to hear it. I want to hear it from DTA community. JAGS. This was a ticker symbol that was hot in 2023. It was a hot ticker symbol. It was the Bitcoin of 2024. It was, people were all over it. And a year ago, I said that obviously a good program. Obviously a good program. Were they a year away? Was the question I asked. Were they 1 year away from where the fundamentals of the stock, right, catch up to the noise of the ticker symbol? And I got some flack. I got some flack for asking the question. I got some, the sources disagreed. I digress. I think the fundamentals of the company have caught up to the noise it was making a year ago. And it's been a quiet ticker symbol as of late. It's been quiet. It was a quiet, in the preseason, I was like, hey, are they paying dividends this year? Where are we at? Where are we at with the Jags? Quiet off season. Quiet off season. They quietly just go to Arizona. They do their thing again. They're not quiet anymore. The Jags are here. The Jags are winning, and they're proving that the fundamentals are here. They caught up to the stock, to the hype. Jefferson Jaguars are for real. They're 4-0. Watch out. They're not a team I'd want to play this upcoming week. If you got them on the schedule right now, watch out. This team's hot. They're making noise. And I know you said a couple other programs are on a mission. I think Jefferson is on a mission this season. Watch out.
Yeah, I agree with everything you're saying. Alma mater, obviously, but they've looked really sharp. They've looked good. You know, they play good defense. They're efficient on offense. They can score. It's nothing too crazy, too flashy, but they're just a tough team to play against. And we'll talk about if they got some big games coming up to really solidify themselves. But they jumped in the poll after those first two wins against Shakopee and Rosemount, blowout dominant performances. They went from not being ranked into, I think, the sixth spot in our DTA poll. So they are on notice. I guess looking ahead, we've talked a lot. There was a lot of action this week. Looking ahead, on the girls' side, Katie, any big games coming up that you're looking forward to, that you're interested in?
I agree. It was kind of a big week that it's a lot to cover. Shout out to the teams playing tomorrow. I think it is supposed to be, well, windy, but also kind of nice. Elk River Zimmerman playing at Minnetonka. I think that's going to be a really interesting matchup to kind of see where Elk River Zimmerman girls fall this year. And the word on the street is on the girls' side is that Minnetonka is also kind of on the rise, and we shouldn't count them out. They've kind of not that they've not been not like not existent the last couple of years, but word on the street is that they're kind of up and coming. If you can actually say that about anything Minnetonka. I think EP Maple Grove is going to be interesting tomorrow, and I think Champlain Park Wayzata, because Wayzata had a huge week, and I think Champlain Park is no sleeper. So I think that's going to be interesting. And then I think Rosemount Andover. So actually tomorrow, I feel like there's some like really solid matchups that I could see any of these going either way, to be honest. And I think it'll be really interesting. None of them I really call like an upset. I think they're going to be really close games, really good matchups. So it'll just be interesting to see those scores towards the end. Looking into Monday, again, Benilde plays Wayzata. I think maybe Wayzata's, wow, a Saturday and a Monday game for them. Kind of a tough schedule. This might be Wayzata's little gauntlet, and to see if they're really what we think they are. I think that's kind of it on Monday. So that one will be on our radar, but no, why is that on Monday? On Tuesday, we Prior Lake plays Lakeville South. The boys will be matched up, spoiler to Lakeville South also. It's kind of the double header boys and girls. That's gonna be huge. Hopefully it's a close score. Hopefully we come out with a win. They were the one of the only teams we've lost to in a couple last couple years. Any other ones that are jumping out to you? Otherwise, we can go over to Wednesday. Eastridge Stillwater, I think, will be interesting on Wednesday, the 24th. CDH and Woodbury also. Yeah, I feel like the ones we kind of look for are the ones we end up not being super that end up being like not super interesting games, and in terms of like a score. It seems like both the boys and the girls have really kind of the big matchups early in the season here. So it'll be interesting to kind of see how these scores end up. Like I said, I think Saturday is going to be Saturday and Monday, Tuesday are kind of the big days for the girls. I guess looking into, yeah, more. Shout us out if you're a team that hasn't been kind of featured, or you guys have an interesting story to tell. We love getting emails. Positive emails, that is. We love getting emails that can, highlight your team, especially if there's teams up north or a little bit more northern suburbs, that we can make sure to go back and keep an eye on. Something that may be a little off our radar just in terms of proximity. I would love to hear from you guys. DM us, let us know kind of a big matchup if we missed you. Boy, look us looking at boys. Highlight games tonight and to tomorrow.
Yeah, over to the boys. Ted, who catches your eye for a little Friday night under the lights action? I know we talked about Woodbury Eastridge already. I think that's the one I'm going to be taking the closest eye on. Any others catch your eye?
I think that's probably the feature game for me, but Orono New Prague could be a decent game.
I agree.
I think Orono is the better team right now. Yeah, that could be an interesting sort of Metro West matchup tonight as well.
So I'm interested to see what Centennial can do too against Benilde.
Yeah, is that tonight or is that Saturday?
Tonight.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, I guess we'll see. I think that's going to be a one-sided one. Benilde has sharp, but I you know, in the past, this has been a matchup that they've had on the schedule, out of conference matchup year after year, and it is a good litmus test for Centennial for sure, to kind of see, you know, obviously you get a chance to play Benilde, you kind of know where you stand. So that could be interesting.
On a Saturday, one that catches my eye, Tonka STA. STA is quietly putting together a nice couple of wins. Oh, they're 1-1. 1-1. Okay. I think, but STA, they've had a close one against Egan. Oh, I thought they were, well, I'm kind of, and they beat Holy Angels. I don't know. STA, though, I'm interested to see what STA and Tonka, how this one, you know, ends up.
I agree. In this game, I'm kind of unsure on where both these teams are at right now. But the game of the day for me on Saturday is Jefferson the Valley versus the Valley. We haven't really talked much about the Valley.
Agreed. They got a couple dudes.
Were solid last year. You know, we talked about them maybe lose a good handful of that 2023 class, but they have been they're 3-0. They've just been destroying their competition. It's hard. They haven't played the toughest opponents. I thought maybe Duluth was going to give them a game, and they scored 17 and only gave up one against Duluth. So that was a swing and a miss by me. You know, Hastings played Rosemount to, I think it was like a 15-10 game, and then Eastview beat them 16-4. Again, do scores tell the whole story? No. This Jefferson game is their biggest test thus far, and how they play against Jefferson, I think, says a lot about where Eastview is. Eastview Apple Valley, sorry.
Well, and I think this is going to be a telltale game, I think, for both programs too, because like Jefferson hasn't had a close game yet, and I know that they've taken it to a couple teams where maybe, at least in my opinion, I thought they were going to be closer. So I don't know. I agree. Probably the game of the day, and yeah, I'm gonna be interested to see where this shakes out as well. Maple Grove Edina.
Yep, that'll be a good one.
Maple Grove Edina, and then allegedly Prior Lake boys are gonna play against Shakopee.
Yeah, that's always it's always an interesting game. I feel like Prior Lake Shakopee is always like a rivalry game, in the sense that it kind of doesn't matter where teams are at. It's always gonna be a hard fought game, a lot of pride on the line. So, and this is Prior Lake's first game. Shakopee's had a couple games under their belt, so we'll see how that plays out. And then Egan going up to Moorhead this weekend, which is
my interesting one.
Nice trip for them. Moorhead came down here, didn't fare so well against Woodbury. So I'll see. I think Egan is another really nice test for them. And you know, that's a tough travel, you know, situation for Egan. I know Moorhead does it all the time. They always say like, we always travel, but you know, they're used to it. Egan, I don't think, is used to it. So we'll see what happens there on Saturday.
On the Monday, we got a few big matchups. I'm going to start kind of like the bottom. Robbinsdale Armstrong Wayzata. Has Armstrong, I don't even know what they've done, but these are two programs where I'm like, okay, like, let's see. Like, I want more information on both of them to figure out where I think they should be ranked or, you know, whatnot. And then right above them, Chanhassen Stillwater. That's going to be a massive matchup.
Yeah. I think Armstrong, you know, didn't do great again. I mean, I guess it was fairly close, but you know, they played Maple Grove the other night, and Maple Grove beat them by, I think, 5. But another Section 5 implications here for seeding. So a big matchup for both those teams. You know, Stillwater, Chan, like you said, that those are some powerhouse programs. I guess we'll see if, you know, Stillwater had a dominant first couple games. Chan kind of sputtered against Buffalo, and we thought maybe that game should have been was closer than it should have been. So I think a lot of information here to be gained.
Then Egan North, you know, is Egan, you know, Egan's starting to make some noise, starting to get attention. If they can make this North game interesting,
Yeah,
anything's possible.
I will say, I think personally, I think Egan is a top 10 team right now. I think they've done enough for me. And this could bump them even higher. These next couple of games, the Moorhead game, how they handle that, and then North, obviously, Lakeville North game. And then a sneaky game, Roseville East Ridge.
Watch out. Roseville, the sources. We are the gatherer of sources. We couldn't do this without the sources. The sources are high on Roseville. Allegedly an amazing Fogo who's been making a lot of noise. I know nothing about the kid. A lot of noise. All I can hear about from the sources is this Fogo. Roseville. And then we got Eastridge, who might be a top five team. So why? I don't know.
Yeah, so that's an interesting one to watch. On to Tuesday, big night, 17 games on the schedule. You got your Knights, your St. Michael Abbeville Knights against Eden Prairie, another conference battle.
I think they win by 10.
There you
Book
heard
it.
it
Book
first.
it. I think they win by 10. I think St. Michael Abbeville is going to continue this momentum, continue this ride, and they're gonna like they want the lake. I think they want the lake, and it's gonna be tough, you know, to get the lake, but I think they get a big win against Eden Prairie. Speaking of Knights, Benilde Jefferson, I think this is the game for me that's gonna tell me who Jefferson is. I think they play on Saturday, right? We said. I think they win on Saturday. For me, for the ticker symbol Jags, you buy the options now. You got to buy the options. It's going to be a moment. It's going to be a volatile stock these next few days. I think you buy the options, and the outcome of this Tuesday game, Benilde versus Jefferson, is gonna send the stock moving one way or the other.
Yep, I agree. That's a big matchup. And definitely if you're a fan of high school lacrosse, that should be one to try to get to on Tuesday.
Tonka Orno.
That could be interesting.
So I've seen Orno. We scrimmaged them allegedly, and they have pieces. They have pieces. I haven't seen Tonka live yet this year, so I honestly don't know what Tonka has this year. I don't know. I haven't watched any game film on them yet.
Orno
I
goal solid, right?
Orno,
It's goalie, right?
very
He's
good goalie. They have mutants on defense. They've got some players on offense. I think this could be a coin flip game. Kind of what I said about New Prague, Lakeville South. I'm getting coin flip vibe. I'm getting overtime vibe from this Tonka Orno game on Tuesday.
on to Wednesday. For me, Stillwater Eastridge. That's a
I'll
couple.
shout out Ted, your game on Tuesday to Shakopee. That's going to be kind of an interesting one.
Yeah, that's always a tough matchup for us. 2 years ago, we played into overtime, played them to overtime. Last year, we had the lead against Shakopee in at half, and they shut us down in the second half and came back and won by 2 or 3 goals. So, we just haven't been able to find a way. So hopefully, you know, we got them at home this year. Hopefully we can find a way to break through. So, but it's usually a pretty good game between
I
us.
think the week one had some big girls matchups, and now week two, I feel like the matchups for the boys are Like girls came right out of the gate with some of these big time, teams playing each other right away. And then I think week two is way more of like on the boys' side. There's going to be some really interesting scores for some decisions, and our opinions are going to change.
I think Wednesday night, Stillwater Eastridge, couple of great offenses, couple of great goalies, couple of great face-off guys. There's probably some good pulls in this game too. I don't even know. But Eastridge has all the opportunities right now to put them number one.
This time next week, we're going to have a lot more information on Eastridge and about, we're going to know who Eastridge is. And this is one of the, their opportunity. They've got two opportunities, two very, very good opportunities to tell us who they are. And this time next week, we will know who Eastridge is. We will, I think we'll feel very confident in saying this week, I don't know who they are. I don't know what they are. I don't know. But we are about to find out. I like this Wednesday slate though. I think, a couple, well, an under the radar game. Andover's made a little noise in the Discord. They've kind of popped up. Andover and Anoka. I feel like Anoka had a win the other day too. Yeah, Anoka, 2-1. 2-1. And Andover, they're starting to make a little bit of noise. So I'm interested in that game again. Not your top tier matchup that everyone's gonna be talking about. I like this Andover Anoka matchup. I think that one's gonna be interesting. And then Woodbury CDH, Woodbury, like you called them the Big Ten, a Big Ten team. CDH is more, are they like a Gonzaga? Right, they're your smaller private school team, in the basketball tournament. Maybe that's a stretch. Maybe I'm reaching, but kind of two different teams that do it two different ways. I think that's gonna be a fun little matchup there.
Yeah, Creighton, they're a raw team. They have a ton of athletes. I think he's number 24 on their team. Mitty, just an absolute beast. But I think they got a lot of hockey guys from that state tournament hockey team. So they play like a hockey team. I mean, they're going to scrap in front of the net. They're going to give you an extra slash. They're going to push you down. They're going to get in your face. And when the lacrosse piece starts to kind of come together, like just the chemistry, I would not be surprised if they make a little run later in the year. I do have to shout out, I wrote about him on Prep Lacrosse, but number 20, Nate Charlton for Creighton. He is their everything Mitty. He is a sophomore. He takes faceoffs. He gets ground balls. He plays defense. He plays offense. He scores goals. He sets guys up. He'll chirp the other team. He'll take it. He'll take a hit. He does everything for them. I was so impressed watching him play. And it's just a guy that I personally would take on my team 100 out of 100 times just because of how much energy and effort that he brings like on every play. So if he has a day, maybe they can break through the machine that is Woodbury.
Now, if you thought this Wednesday kind of slate of games was good, Thursday might even be better. We got 18 games, and matchup galore. You couldn't write up a better script for a night. You've got the Battle of Carver County, Chaska Chan. You've got Edina, Benilde St. Margaret's. You've got EP North. You've got Lakeville South Northfield. I think that's going to be a good game. Rosemount Wayzata. Wayzata, we're going to have a lot more information about Wayzata. I think that's going to be a close matchup. Rosemount, Rosemount's Rosemount. Who's Wayzata? We're going to find out. At New Prague, are they going to muck it up and make it interesting against Jefferson? I don't know. I don't know.
Armington's got Owatonna that night, which
Owatonna is another team that's been mucking it up for teams.
that's a game that I don't, as a coach, you're kind of like not looking forward to because it's like, they're going to come in and battle, And so that's a tough one. Luckily, they've come to us this year. Going down to their place last year, that was a tough game.
Another private school matchup, Providence versus Blake. Doesn't Providence have one dude who's like a stud?
Yep, Sammy Lewis, attackman, super good player.
Is he a senior yet? I feel like we've been talking to him, talking about him for 4 years.
Senior?
Okay.
Yep. So, yeah, a lot. Katie, you're absolutely right. I think this upcoming week, there's some premier matchups on the boys' side that have section implications, ranking implications, conference implications.
Bragging rights.
Right, who's who, and I think the girls kind of had that this week. So get ready for another great week of lacrosse.
What, anything off the field? Any rants from Katie or Ted that you need to get off your chest now that we're out in the real world a little bit more, interacting with other humans?
Just because I want to shout this out, you know, we've talked about all these different kind of areas and teams. Old Southern Barbecue, they have a Minneapolis location. That's their Edina one. Arden Hills, Shakopee, Hudson. So if you're going to go check out any of these games that we've shout out, you know, find a Old Southern Barbecue near wherever you're going. You know, get yourself some barbecue. Don't rely on the barbecue vendor at the concessions like PMAC did last week, because that could be, you know,
it derailed my week. Like, it, I was feeling good. I was feeling great. We're buzzing. We're playing lacrosse. I get to watch lacrosse. It was nice out, and I had that barbecue. The world, it got windy. We got rain.
And so, you know, check out one of their locations. They kind of have them all over the city. And then obviously DTA 15, if you're going to buy any sauces, any seasonings. I think the weather is going to get warmer next week. So if you're going to get the grill out and do anything there, you know, get yourself some stuff. So as always, thank you to Old Southern Barbecue for sponsoring the show. I don't think I have any rants, honestly. I haven't ranted in a while either. You know, the only thing is, if you're going to come at us and say we're sleeping on you, or like we're overlooking you, or that you're some great team, go back it up on the field, because so far, a couple of the teams that have come at me have not fared so well in their matchups. So, hey, I prove us wrong. I hope you prove us wrong. I want to see your team go all the way. Right. So, but yeah, you know, the scores are the scores.
Make me raise my hand and say I was wrong.
I agree. That's all I got. Katie, any other rants?
Non-wind? Listen, all I know is that I hear our dog door flapping in the wind right now.
Katie's,
and not because Groot just came back in. He was sleeping right here, and I could hear the flapping of the windy day opening the door. So keep your hats on today.
Katie's ready for no wind next
I'm
week.
I'm ready for no wind.
Well, without further ado, thanks for tuning in to Down the Alley this week. We will be back next week to talk about all the storylines of the upcoming week that we've discussed, the matchups, the storylines, the breakdowns, and whatever curveballs the upcoming week brings. Because we're out and about now. We're mobile. We're trying the concession stands. We're checking out the deals that the team's doing at their big game. And if it derails my week and we get wind because of it again, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it the full 10 weeks this season. So, no, it's all in good fun. It's all for entertainment and bring more light to the Minnesota high school lacrosse. You know, remember that this is entertainment. It's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be for the kids and for the programs around the state and continue to grow, right? The game that we all enjoy watching, playing, coaching, reffing, et cetera. So, 95, I would say, percent of you get that. For the 5% that don't, this is a reminder, you know, for you, a friendly little reminder. So thanks for tuning in. Can't wait to get back on the mic next week. You know, hopefully, you know, for the people that hate listening to me talk and rant, you know, hopefully nothing major happens and I have nothing to rant about. So we'll be back next week. Thanks for tuning in. Adios.